Hello, everyone. I'm Kenny Rice. Welcome into the Horse Racing Show. Glad you're with us. Big show today as we get ready for the Breeders' Cup. We're talking to the ambassador for the Breeders' Cup, the talented actress, producer, model, and advocate for horse racing, Bo Derek, will join us in just a few moments. And then a surprise guest, longtime friend of this show, will be coming up later. With me on lead guitar, Scott Hall, and our top researcher, Mr. Thomas Kenny. It's like the band's back together for this one, guys. How are you?
Great, Kenny. How are you?
Great.
I'm looking forward to this show. You know, sometimes you shouldn't meet people that you really like, and because they may disappoint you. But Bo Derek does not. She's one of the sweetest people I've ever met, especially with her fame, and she's always showing people around the racetrack, and truly is an ambassador for the sport. So I think you're going to have a good time listening to her interview.
I got to say, I don't know if Thomas can relate to this. I'm a little nervous because I have known who Bo Derek is for a long time. I guess that ages me, and she has always been a classy, just amazing. I'm excited.
No, and let's face it, she made the iconic role in 10 that everybody remembers. What you're also going to remember is how great she is for the sport of horse racing when you hear the interview with her coming up right after this on the Horse Racing Show. This is the Horse Racing Show. I'm Kenny Rice. Thank you for tuning in, be it radio, YouTube, Google Play, iTunes, iHeartRadio, whatever the deal. We're glad to have you with us, and I'm delighted to have this lady with us. She is an actress, a producer, a model, a horse racing advocate, an animal rights advocate. She is Bo Derek. Bo, welcome into the show.
My, thank you for all those. Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. This is my favorite subject, you know.
I know. Well, the first time we met years ago when I was working for ESPN was, of course, at the Kentucky Derby. And I believe, with one exception of running into you at Aldo's restaurant in Baltimore Preakness Week, I believe every time we've seen each other, it's been a racetrack.
Yes, probably. Aldo's, how about that?
How about a night? They don't even sponsor the show. Look, I just gave them a free plug with Bo Derek here, but that was a good place.
Yes, it is.
Bo, as far as your involvement with horse racing and horses in general, has this been a lifelong thing? I mean, it certainly has in the 20-some years I've known.
Yes, I think some of us are probably born with a predisposition, a genetic code to make us have an affinity for horses. I've always said anyway, because nothing explains why I have this passion for the animal. And just one thing led to another, and now I'm a Breeders' Cup ambassador. I'm a board of director at Del Mar Racetrack, and I was a racing commissioner in California for 7 years. So you never know where life will take you.
Yeah, what was it like being the commissioner of the California Horse Racing Board? But you had about a 5-year, 6-year run, didn't you?
Yeah, it was really interesting. I had no aspirations, which will probably make some people upset, I know. But besides that, Governor Schwarzenegger's office called and asked if I wanted to be on the board. And I said, I couldn't possibly. I don't know that much about racing. I'm a big fan. They said, well, let's try it because we have enough owners. We have lawyers. We have trainers, all different aspects. But they were looking for a woman, someone to represent the fan and to look out for horse and rider safety issues. So I said, okay, if you think I can help. So I went into it without an agenda, contrary to what a lot of people thought when I joined the board. And I ended up loving it. The people in racing are still some of my best friends. And I found it challenging for sure when it came to changing rules because, you know, in California, this is such an old sport. I think it's the first sport that the British brought over when they colonized the Americas. And so some of these rules are 150 years old. And as you know, there's no shortage of superstition and right. in this sport. So when you talk about changing even the tiniest rule, it upsets a lot of people.
Well, I was happy that you got on that board. I can probably understand why some of the people, me even being a Kentuckian and here in a state known for horse racing as well, you know, sometimes, Bo, it's like I liken it to those silent movie stars that had to come over to the talkies you know, had to learn that there's a little more to it than just the regular film. You can also walk and talk and have action. And I think sometimes, like you say, with some of the ancient rules, but horse racing's gotten a little better with that. But it's still something I think, you know, there's some cutting edge things they could look at, in my opinion, for the future. What do you think?
I think so. But overall, I think, you know, it's a very safe sport now, not for the riders, unfortunately. It's still, you know, a very dangerous sport for them. They are superheroes, the riders.
Yes.
But as far as doing everything for the horse, I think much of the public would be surprised at what goes into preparing a horse for race day and keeping them safe. It is very impressive.
Talking with Bo Derek, who has been is an ambassador for the Breeders' Cup. We've talked about being on the California Horse Racing Commission. And Bo, as far as the safety, it's been a good year for horse racing overall. And I hear your puppies in the background.
Yes, I'm sorry. That's their job. Three big German shepherds, and they take it very seriously, keeping me safe.
Well, so. Bless them for that.
Yes.
Well, you know, last year was an awful – this year's a crazy year for everybody. Last year in particular was a tough year for horse racing in California. Yes. It seems to be much better this year.
Yes, it's been incredible this year. I think Santa Anita has had Del Mar, Santa Anita, they've all had perfectly safe meet. So we're all very happy about that.
And, you know, you talked about, what did you learn on the board that really impressed you most when you're on the California Racing Board or Ambassador to Breeders' Cup or the Del Mar Board of Directors as far as getting horses to the track and the interaction with trainers and owners?
I think it's, as I said, people tend to hold on to what they know and what works for them and their horses. And it's, as I said, there's no shortage of superstition also, you know, whether it's wearing the same underwear or the same tie on race day, which is part of the charm of the sport, I think. But the passion for the horse is there at every level, from the backside worker to the owner in the stands. I think it's a passion. It's a beautiful sport. The horses are magnificent. And I think one thing that surprises most of my friends when I take them to the track, because I am a racing ambassador in my private life in general, is that the horse has to be happy and want to win. And you can help strategize how that race is going to go as a rider, but ultimately that horse has to feel really good about himself or herself and want to be in front. And that's the beauty of the sport.
Oh, that's well said. And as you pointed out, and I think a lot of it came out this year with COVID and even last year with some of the problems in the sport at Santa Anita, the other track, the many people employed on the backside that most people forget about. I mean, we all, hey, when I'm doing interviews, who's it with? It's an owner, a trainer, maybe a celebrity, a breeder. But, you know, we don't go back and talk to the grooms and the people that work on the backside. And I think that maybe they got more attention with needing to work and the importance of what their jobs mean, especially in the last couple of years. I hope I'm right on that.
I think you're right on that. And then also, this is look, we're doing a podcast. This is another, social media has given another opportunity to see a more in-depth view of this sport. So I think that I Am Horse Racing, for instance, will be featuring backside workers and what their life is like and their job. And so I think it's an easy way to open this sport to the public.
And do you go to the track much and get to go to the backside and take your friends on the tour and say, hey, look what this guy does to get this horse ready?
I'm a pretty good tour giver.
The last time I saw you at Santa Anita last year at the Breeders' Cup, you had friends with you. I did. I said, that's got to be the best tour guide in the whole place. Bo Derek.
Yes. And with my access, the sport's been very nice to me. You know, I get all access all the time, and I'm always recruiting people and showing them that side. And especially my friends do tend to be horse enthusiasts in general. So I get to show them this side of the sport. And my favorite time is getting up in the morning and going to see everything backside.
And you are a horse owner. And did you have race horses? I know you've had like pleasure horses. You ride horses. But did you ever get into the owning business?
No, I never have. Well, I'm just getting ready. I've got to get involved in my racehorse. I think this is so much fun. Yeah. So I'm looking to see just the horse that I think is going to be my, that I will be able to own a mane hair or an eyelash in. But I think this is a fun way for people to be involved. And I have horses. I have riding horses. I have Spanish and Portuguese riding horses here at my home. But as far as the racehorses, this will be the first time I've actually had ownership, except I was part of a syndicate in the UK with some racehorses. That was a lot of fun. It does make it more fun to go to the track, believe me, when you have a little piece of a horse.
Especially if you make it down to the winner's circle.
I know. It's great. So I'm really looking forward to that.
We're talking with Bo Derek, the actress, producer, model, ambassador for the Breeders' Cup. We're talking horse racing. Quick break. We'll be right back on the horse racing show. More coming up right in just a second with Bo. And welcome back to the horse racing show. I'm Kenny Rice. Thank you for tuning in. Bo Derek is with us. She is known, of course, for acting. She has been a producer, a model, and an advocate for animals, particularly horses. We've talked about her stints as commissioner for the California Horse Racing Board, ambassador of the Breeders' Cup. And Bo, you were on Shark Week a few weeks ago.
Oh, yes, I was.
Wild Aid Project. I'm flipping through and I go, Bo Derek, I know she protects horses and worries about, now she's saving sharks, which I got to believe it could be the most humane thing possible because you don't think of, let's take care of a shark.
That's right. You know, it's funny where life will take you. And horse racing is such an international sport that my work with wildlife trafficking and horse racing has come together so many times. There's a great owner, Charles Fipke, a racehorse owner, and he's won, I think, 2 Breeders' Cup races. And we worked together on a foundation called Wild Aid Canada, and he's been incredibly generous and passionate about wildlife trafficking and endangered wildlife. So you never know where this path will take you. And I've been lucky enough to visit some of those beautiful racetracks and see racing all over the world.
Yeah. Do you have, I guess home track would be Del Mar, Santa Anita, right? So
yes.
Coin between those two, which are both beautiful. Do you have a favorite track that you've been to outside of California?
You know, I think Chantilly in France is probably the most magical, being that it's set up against a castle. And the horses train in the national forest through these beautifully groomed avenues through the forest. It's another world. And, you know, I always, when I travel, I did racing last year in Qatar, and I go to these venues and these beautiful tracks, and I just have to think how this animal brings us all together and how I'm not alone. You know, there are other horse crazy people around.
You know, I think the two some cat lovers may get a little upset, so I will add them to it, but I think as far as like horses and dogs, who doesn't like horses and dogs? I don't know. I don't know of anybody I've met that doesn't like a horse and a dog. You know, they're just great animals to look at.
Exactly. For sure.
And you got, and see, so you like the horses, and you've got the German shepherds, and you save sharks, and you promote the Breeders' Cup. What versatility you're showing here, Bo.
Well, yes, it's there's something about being in a popular movie that is a credit card for the rest of your life, and I'm sure certainly spending beyond my limit all the time. But, and you know, the track is so much fun, especially Breeders' Cup Day, because I love to go out early in the morning and especially see all the foreign horses that have flown in and see them work and visit old friends. And when it comes to betting, my bets are more wishes on who I'd like to win. And then I will always team up with the Rotundo boys and get some intelligent handicapping. So I rely on them to help me out.
Well, they're good too. They're good guys to hang out with and, you know, making a few bets. And, you know, I always said that's one of the pluses and minuses sometimes for getting younger people into the sport. They come to the track maybe, and, you know, especially college kid, and you're thinking, boy, I just lost $20 today. I lost $30. That's, you know, a small fortune when you're in college trying to get sure. through. And, you know, so I'd hope that people would kind of go to the track. I would tell young people, I tell them that even in Kentucky, go to the track and kind of look it over a couple of times before you get too carried away with the betting and appreciate everything, the pageantry and the beauty and all that, as corny as it may sound. I think that's kind of an important introduction before you start running to the window.
Sure. And you can just sort of observe and hang out around the window and you'll find people that are doing well. And most of them are happy to help bring you along and help teach you. It's pretty inclusive, the sport, I think.
You know, let's talk a little bit about the Hollywood deal, because, you know, Hollywood and horse racing, I mean, some mm-hmm. of the most, you know, great movies like The Sting. And we can talk about so many movies that necessarily weren't horse racing movies, but there was like a horse racing backdrop. And, sure. you know, I'm watching a recent Hallmark movie you made where there's horses in it. There's John Boyd riding a horse and James Caan riding a horse. And, you know, yes. horses in Hollywood have kind of been synonymous for a century now.
Yeah, well, the Western kept Hollywood alive through the dark times, and I grew up on National Velvet and all these movies that were around, the Mickey Rooney movies around horse racing, and it's very romantic, and, you know, I try to recruit as many people as I can. Del Mar, it was started by Hollywood.
Yeah. Yeah, Bing Crosby, Pat
O'Brien. Bing Crosby and Pat O'Brien and all their buddies. And so it's kind of fun to be, especially to be on that board.
I did a story years ago for a Breeders' Cup news feed. I think it was around 93. And I had the pleasure of interviewing Don Ameche on the apron at Santa Anita one morning.
Oh.
And he started telling these great stories. And you know, and you probably, I guess, do know this, but the old films that they have at Santa Anita Racetrack, they've done a great job preserving them. And there he is saying, yeah, I used to sit over there and Betty Grable and Ty Power would come and sit with me and Bing Crosby had walked by. And we found a lot of that footage that matched up with what he was telling us. And, you know, I'm sitting there being a movie fan and a horse fan going, it doesn't get much better than this here in these.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. I'm trying to think when I first went to my first Breeders' Cup at Hollywood Park, Mel Brooks is still goes to every Breeders' Cup, and I remember Jack Klugman was there, and that was a fun one. Albert Finney was there. That was a fun race.
And there's still something about that, isn't it, that attracts Hollywood. There's still, I don't know if many of the younger actors are getting into it, but there's still something about horse racing that brings out celebrities, you know.
Sure.
Actually, I've run into them at the track, you know, and seen them there on a race day, like especially the late Dick Van Patten used to come out all the time.
I know. But I know I've seen, well, Elizabeth Banks, of course, Jerry O'Connell, they're Breeders' Cup ambassadors, and Clive Owen, Jared Harris, you know, they still come. It's a lot of fun.
Do you have a favorite Breeders' Cup moment or moments from the ones you've seen over the years that, you know, just kind of stand out, be it a Zenyatta or Beholder or I don't know. I'll get off the it could be any horse race out there that, in a Breeders' Cup.
So many. When I know the connections and admire them and think they're really good people, when they win, I sort of lose my mind a bit. But my favorite memory, of course, is the Zenyatta Breeders' Cup race. And I was with a girlfriend. We were right in front in the winner's circle already and standing up on the podium, and we were all day people had said, who's your pick for the Breeders' Cup? And I said, Zenyatta. And they said, oh, that's because you're a girl. And then when she came around that turn and just smoked every other horse, it was so thrilling, so exciting, And I was screaming, jumping up and down. My girlfriend fell off the steps and was caught by Daryl Hare from the Jockeys Guild. He caught her in the air, and we just lost our minds. It was so exciting, so much fun. And I got to say, I told you so to everybody. I just walked through the whole through Santa Anita with my waving my winning ticket. It was in everyone's faces. It was so much fun. I do tend to like the girls. You know, the mares and fillies, they stay around a little longer, which is nice. They race a little longer when they're champions. So I love Goldakova, and Enable was incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And Swiss Skydiver, I can't wait to see what she does.
You know, I can't either. I wish that we knew right now from Kenny McPeak, if you go against the boys in the Classic, run the distance. Yeah. It's going to be a bonus for fans either way. But
either way.
You'd like to see her go against the guys, I'll bet, in the Classic. You'd like to see her have a Zenyatta moment.
I love Zenyatta moments. Who doesn't? Who doesn't? And I remember Ken DeSormo. I think he was on Gioponti, and he said that Gioponti pouted for the next few days when he lost that race to her. And I love these stories because I know horses do have emotions and memories and feelings, and or I'm anthropomorphizing them, who knows. But I believe they have feelings, and I can see him getting depressed because a mare flew by him in a big race.
So you said
I like that story.
Yeah, there's another man pouting over losing to a woman or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Bo Zenyatta, I mean, she was like a movie. She was like a Silky Sullivan. See, I can remember reading of Silky Sullivan here. And, I mean, the way she won her races, it was movie star-like, I thought. You know, the big dramatic closing finishes to win. I think she's been one of the most popular horses in recent times.
Yeah, I there was something extra about her. I remember Cigar had that. Every once in a while, there's a horse in my mind who just crosses over to relate to humans a little bit more than others. And I think she had that. The way she'd look you in the eye and relate to you as a human was just a little bit more intense than other horses. And we get that every once in a while, and I would put her in that classification.
Which could be the reason, Bo Derek, that they make movies about horses probably more than any other animal, don't they? Except they have some dogs in movies, but there's a horse
sure.
that is still in movies to this day.
Sure, absolutely.
And as far as yourself, any movies, are you getting back into the acting even more? You know, like I told you, I saw the Hallmark movie. It was a lot of fun seeing you back on the screen.
Oh, thank you. That was fun. I'm not actively working or looking for work anymore, but every once in a while, the business is so nice to me. And every once in a while they call and offer me something really fun. Like, you know, that Hallmark movie was shot last year in Louisville. So at a horse farm out in Louisville. So I was able to, if I wasn't having an early call to go to work, I was usually at Churchill Downs watching the horses get ready for the Derby. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, that is. And you know, you alluded to it earlier. I mean, you've been in one of the iconic roles of all time. And, you know, you think of all the actors out there that, you know, had some moments and all, but very few can be identified with a movie and a scene. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure that's something that comes up quite a bit in your life that, you know, going back to the movie 10 way back when.
Sure. It changed my life overnight for sure, but for the better, of course.
And we stayed away from any silly cliches like this show's a 10 or anything like that. I know you're glad of that because you got to be sick of hearing that.
I don't mind. How do you get sick at something like that?
And you never get tired of watching a horse run, do you? Do you just like to go out and watch your own horses run in a field? Forget going to the racetrack, just watching the horses run in general, because it's so majestic to see a horse out, especially in the field. I think it's just beautiful.
It is. And I have, where I live, my horses are pretty much outside every window. And of course, I'll run outside when they start playing with each other. And they do race naturally. They do race. They want to get in front, and it's a beautiful thing to watch. They're such beautiful creatures. They're so generous to us. Our histories you know, are pretty much made on the back of a horse. And so they've been part of our lives for so long.
And the Breeders' Cup coming up, no fans, people will be watching all over. I think horse racing has done an impressive job this year, Bo, considering they were able to go. They were kind of the bubble sport before bubble sports. At least some racetrack was having a race somewhere in the country. And I know Santa Anita had to adjust, as did New York, as did Kentucky, et cetera. But at least horse racing kept going. I thought that was a plus. I think a few people might have been drawn to the sport now that wouldn't have otherwise, because they were the only game in town for a few weeks.
I hope so. I hope people realize that it's a good sport. It's a fun and intelligent sport to bet on, and if that's what you're looking for. And I think that at least here in California and some other states worked with the virus and the restrictions of the virus and still let the sport continue. And, you know, you can't just take horses and put them in the locker and wait until the sport opens up again. So they have to exercise. They have to run. And so that was really encouraging when our governor and our state worked with the sport to keep it going. And so now we have Breeders' Cup in Keeneland. Del Mar is getting ready to open up, which is a fabulous venue. And, you know, it's one of the tracks that does appeal to young people. So that's always fun.
And it's beautiful. Yeah. If you're listening and you've only seen Del Mar on TV, if you have the opportunity, you have to go there. I think that would be one of the must tracks. To me, if I had must tracks, it would be Santa Anita, Del Mar, Keeneland, and Belmont. And, you know, I mean, that's Saratoga, not knocking Belmont. Go there fifth or sixth. But, you know.
Yeah. No, Del Mar is a bucket list destination during racing. It's beautiful. It is truly where the turf meets the surf. And you can see, I love to see the riders in the ocean in the morning and then on the horseback in the afternoon. It's crazy.
It is a beautiful setting. And again, it'll be there next year for the Breeders' Cup. And by that time, let's hope everybody's happy and healthy and well, and a big crowd can come there to next year's Breeders' Cup, we hope.
Definitely. Big crowds.
Yeah. Bo, listen, thank you so much for your time. It's valuable. I appreciate you taking time out. Enjoy watching the Breeders' Cup, as many people will next week on TV, watching it on NBC. And I look forward to seeing you in person someday, and stay well and continued success with your advocacy for horses and animals in general, as well as the acting.
Thank you. Thank you, Kenny. And I'll see you at the track.
I look forward to it. Thank you so much. Bo Derek here with us on the Horse Racing Show. Some thoughts on the Breeders' Cup when we come right back. Welcome back to the Horse Racing Show. I'm Kenny Rice. We have had a discussion, a meeting of the minds between Scott Hall, Thomas Kenny, and myself, and we have decided that the person that should be our last guest before we take the hiatus has given us so many moments of happiness, so many laughs, so much insight. He is the noted author and award-winning journalist, Lenny Shulman. Welcome back in, Lenny.
Hey, guy, do you know how insulting it is that you just call me on the spur of the moment and just assume I'm not doing anything and can appear on this show? Do you understand the insult that I'm suffering here?
Lenny, can you appear on the show?
do you know how busy an individual I am that you call on the spur of the moment and, okay, dogs, we can walk later. Hold on. All right. Okay. I can do it.
Yeah, welcome to my world. This is me. I'm still waiting around to see if I'm working next week. Yeah, okay, yeah, come on, yeah, okay. Yeah, if you spit in that jar, okay, you're COVID-free, come on in. You know,
I'm supposed to cover two Breeders' Cup races. The only thing is that they're not giving me a credential to go inside the track. It's like, okay, I'm so good I can do it by osmosis, you know. I'll hear some rumors and write up some stories.
One of the two races, maybe I can help you out. I'll give an extra interview or something for you.
No, I'd appreciate that. I have the sprint and the juvenile turf. That shows you how important I am to get two headline races like that.
Well, you're retired. You're semi-retired. You're still
You're right.
I mean, you know, it's not like...
It's my own fault.
You chose this. You would be doing the classic.
I didn't know my reputation was going to retire with me. I thought I could actually maintain some semblance of respect out there, but clearly that hasn't happened.
Well, you know, as in life and in horse racing, once you're gone, you're gone. You know that. That's why I can't quit. Once I quit, they'll say, huh? I said, is there any chance I could just get in maybe and walk around the grounds? No, never. Get away. You had your day, buddy. It came and went.
That's right. If you're not Tom Hammond, forget it. It's over. I wouldn't true. Even go on hiatus if I were you. I think you're doing the wrong thing here.
Well, it hasn't stopped me before, but yes. Well, what a year this has been for horse racing and how crazy it's been. And throughout it all, Lenny has kept his cool and kept it all in perspective in his several visits in the past with us. So the book is coming out on pretty soon, right, or first of the year, about, you know, some of the people that you've interviewed over the years for the Blood Horse, et cetera. And it's really going to be a great book about horse racing.
Yeah, well, it's probably more toward the summer now, which is fine with me because maybe we'll be back to a little semblance of normal by then. But yeah, it's about 40, 45 interviews with people I've done through the years of Blood Horse, and I really think it's some interesting stuff. And here's a scoop. I'm actually writing a biography of Phyllis George, which I think, Kenny, you knew. But yeah, just signed a deal to do that for the University Press of Kentucky. Phyllis, of course, was a first lady of the state when John Y. Brown, her husband, was governor. But so yeah, that's kind of been interesting. We're going back and trying to find some people like Brent Musburger and Irv Cross to talk to.
Wow, those were the days, and I love that. I love that show. That was great. That was the days where is Tom Brookshire and Pat Summerall, right, were calling the games. I mean, those were the days.
That's right. The NFL Today is what Phyllis worked on. And, you know, back then, you know, ESPN was a gleam in somebody's eye. So, you know, there was only one pregame. You know, you didn't have 12 hours of pregame coverage every Sunday. So that was it. You know, people who were tuning in, that was the show where you had to kind of catch up on what was going on.
The Breeders' Cup coming up. Lenny, do you have a favorite Breeders' Cup moment out there or moments in the many ones that you've covered?
Yeah, wow, that's a great question. That's a tough one. That is a tough spur of the moment one. I'm going to say it was at Santa Anita when Zenyatta came from dead last to win the Classic. And, of course, there was a classic call from Trevor Denman. But I think that one still gets the tingles going up my spine when I think about her, when I see a replay of it. I think that would be the moment.
That was right. That was a Hollywood moment, wasn't it? That was Silky Sullivan reincarnated moment, you know?
Yeah, it was the filly beating the boys for the first and still only time in the Classic. And you're right, the coming from dead last. And visually, it just never looked like there was enough space and time for her to do that. And you know, Trevor, with that, this is unbelievable. They had the press outdoors there by the finish line at Santa Anita. And when she came back around the turn after the race, I just went down to the rail and just started yelling and screaming and clapping. Everything you're not supposed to do when you're a, quote, objective journalist, unquote. But it was such a magnificent moment. I didn't give a damn who saw me or didn't see me or whatever. I was going to congratulate that horse for doing what she did. And I think that's the one that sticks out in my 20 years. Now, I wasn't around for Personal Ensign or some of those other things. It was a little before my time. But for me, it was Zenyatta winning the Classic.
That's a great memory. And nobody's better than Lenny Shulman. I did. I called him out of the blue. This is a drive-by interview. He's out walking his dogs. He gets this random call. He, you know, he thought it might be one of the, I'm the fourth caller. Maybe I win that. Maybe I win that new Ted Nugent release, you know, iPhone thing or whatever's coming out. But no, it's just me saying, hey, Lenny, we're closing the show. You got to be my last guest.
We're on the air. We're on the air in 3 seconds. What are you doing? That's what you get, a true professional. That's what everybody wants, you know. Light goes on, boom, boom, boom. You knock it out. And speaking of true professionals, Kenny, you are one. I hope the show does come back. You've done a magnificent job on this. Any racing fan who's tuned in on any kind of basis has gotten fantastic interviews, and the way your subjects treat you, you know the respect that you have in this industry. So good for you. It's been a great series, and I hope it goes on.
Hey, thank you so much, Lenny. It's their friendship is greatly appreciated, as you know. And please let the man in at the Breeders' Cup. Give him a press release. Give him a press pass. He's an award-winning journalist. He is Lenny Shulman, the author of upcoming books, the author of great books and novels already. How's that, Lenny? We're going to get you in one way or the other.
That's great, but I have a feeling I'm going to be interviewing my Samsung during the races. So.
you know what I'm thinking about now? I'm thinking about the 03 Stooges deal. I think I've shot at Santa Anita. Remember where they couldn't get in? They go in the men's room and they come out, press, press, pull.
That's right. absolutely. The signs in their hats, yeah.
I think that's an option for you, okay? Just follow me, pal. We'll make it to Keeneland.
That's it. I'll be your makeup guy.
I need it. Lenny, you're the best. Thanks so much, my friend.
All the best, Kenny.
Thank you. The one and only Lenny Shulman. We'll have more on the Horse Racing Show right after this. Welcome back to the Horse Racing Show. I'm Kenny Rice. We're glad that you're with us this week. We're talking about the Breeders' Cup, which goes back to 1984. So there's some real history in this race now. And taking a look at some of the stats, and Thomas Kenny has been delving deep into the record book of the Breeders' Cup. And Thomas, you were telling me earlier, some of the people that you're going to tell me about, they have been on our show before when we talk about their part in Breeders' Cup history, starting with the jockeys.
Yeah, Mike Smith, the winning most jockey in Breeders' Cup history with 26 under his belt, good friend of the show. We've also got John Velasquez with 16 right under him, and Jerry Bailey at 15 wins.
Wow. I tell you, Mike's number is going to be tough to top, isn't it? 26 wins. That's an impressive amount.
The other guys have got some work to do for sure.
Now, as far as the trainers going, and this legend was on the show just about, what, 3-4 weeks ago that tops the trainers list.
That's right. He needs no introduction in the world of horse racing. D. Wayne Lucas with 20 Breeders' Cup wins.
And Baffert, I think, is pretty close to him.
Yeah, Baffert and Chad Brown are actually tied at 15 under him.
What's really impressive, and I know you and Scott appreciate a record no matter what the sport is, you know, Lucas did so much of this in the 80s and the 90s. I mean, he's done it since then as well. But he built up a lead that so far is insurmountable. You know, years later, this guy's record is still holding up. That's what's really impressive and significant about the Wayne Lucas legacy in the sport.
And I'm personally convinced that the legacy isn't done either.
No, I would never count him out. You know, he's 85 and going strong. And, you know, just when you expect him to say goodbye, he pops up and, like, wins the Preakness with Oxbow. So, no, never count out Wayne. You're exactly right, Thomas.
I wouldn't count out Wayne even if he was a car. Anything he does, I would bet on him. You know what I mean? He's that kind of guy.
Yeah. 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 And, you know, and you've listened to the guys that we've had on, you know, like Velasquez and Bailey and Smith, and they all had great stories. And that's been one of the fun things about this show is hearing from these people. It's been more than just horse racing, although obviously that's the center point of it. And we just heard about the emotions of what a great horse can bring to people. We heard that from Bo Derek. We just heard that from Lenny Shulman. And that horse was Zenyatta, who beat the boys in the Classic with that tremendous come from behind. And Thomas, she also has a spot in history in Breeders' Cup earnings, I believe.
So with repeat wins in the Breeders' Cup Distaff in 2008 and the Classic in 2009, Zenyatta tops the earnings list for horses with $4 million, $680,000.
And what a special horse she is. Who will step up? Will it be Swiss Skydiver this year? Will she run against the boys? That's going to be the big question. Or will she stay and run in the Distaff where she'd be taking on another great filly in Monomoy Girl? All that drama leading up to the Breeders' Cup, now just counting it down at Keeneland. When we come back, a few final thoughts here on the Horse Racing Show. Welcome back to the Horse Racing Show. Thank you for tuning in. We thank you for your support during this almost 2 years now. This is our 91st episode. This is going to be our last for a while. We're going on hiatus. We do look forward to returning soon. As we said at the start of this show, from day one back in January of 2019, whether you're looking at the Bible in James 3, where it says, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, or if you're looking at Shakespeare, King Richard III, a horse, my kingdom for a horse, or the legendary Damon Runyon, who said, the race is not always to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, but that's the way to bet. And that's what we've tried to do here on this show, is have a variety of people on from different walks of life, from trainers, owners, breeders, to people in the entertainment profession and in other sports professions, and bring it all together and show that there is a lot more than just winning a race. Although, of course, that is the ultimate goal. But that's what always makes it interesting, is what's it going to be like in a horse race? Are we going to see excitement and drama that we hope for? That's the anticipation every time out. I could not have done the show without the band, and my great thanks to dear friends of mine, Scott Hall on lead guitar as always, and Mr. Thomas Kenny, our ace researcher, and Ben Chaffins. And it's been a nice run, gentlemen, and I do look forward to picking it back up after we catch our breath and everything settles down a little bit with what everybody has had to go through with the whole situation this year with the COVID delaying and sidelining some projects.
And it's been a great ride so far, man. A lot of fun.
Yeah. Thomas has got to talk about sports like car racing that he loves, too. I think that's been a fun part of the show.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And thank you to everybody tuning in. I want to give special thanks out there to two longtime friends of mine, Drew Diener in Louisville and Dave Krusenklaus in Lexington, for bringing our YouTube show to the radio stations. And we do look forward to continuing that relationship down the road. This is the kind of show that we've been doing. We had the actress, producer, model, and advocate for horse racing, Bo Derrick, on. It was great to catch up with her, and then a great friend of mine. He's an ace rider. I don't think there's anybody better out there covering the sport. Lenny Schulman, who is now retired from the Blood Horse, but he'll never retire. He keeps going. And therein has been the beauty of all this, from the athletes we've had all the way through to the actors that have been on this show and everyone else. Thank you again for tuning in. The Breeders' Cup is counting down. It is the biggest day, the biggest weekend in horse racing, with $31 million on the line in 14 races. You can tune in to NBC next Friday and Saturday and see me there. And again, we'll be talking to you sometime down the road. And be sure to check us out, all the past episodes on the YouTube channel. Until then, I'm Kenny Rice. Thank you, everyone, for your support of this, the Horse Racing Show.